Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, April 11th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as I do every second Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Central Time. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires and motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. And I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. I started out as a fashion model when I first came from Jamaica. Then I was a singer on the MCA label in a rock and roll band, a corporate consultant. And today, I'm a professional speaker, trainer, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. So let's set the tone for today's show. Author Martha Beck said, "I really do think that any deep crisis is an opportunity to make your life extraordinary in some way." Oh, by the way, today's show is brought to you by JAD Communications International. They specialize in personal development, coaching, and training. And JAD CI focuses on improving communication, managing people and expectations, increasing interpersonal skills, promoting respectful communications, and conflict resolution. Visit them online at www.jadcommunications.com and use the contact page to request more information. Boy, have we got a show for you today. Joining us later will be Lamont Robinson, who will be taking your calls and questions. So be sure to call us at 646-381-4198. And by the way, if you're listening online, please mute your computer first. Today's show is titled, "A Transform National Journey of a Bastard from the West Side of Chicago." Mr. Lamont Robinson is a professional speaker and author of his autobiography, Transfer National, Journey of a Bastard. His book is an inspiring story of how one man overcame the trials of his past from Chicago's violent West Side to develop a path to personal success despite countless obstacles that sought to derail him. Lamont has extensive experience in supplier diversity and overseeing successful supplier diversity programs for large corporations in healthcare and media, and he's been quoted in various magazines and newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal. And by the way, you will learn from Lamont today how to enact transformations to seek success. You'll learn how to use his 12 disciplines to implement your transformation, and you will learn how to use adversity and other obstacles as a driver to succeed. So, let me tell you, give you a little bit of his background. As I said, Lamont was born in Chicago, Illinois. He attended Lower Merion High School in Ardmore, in Pennsylvania, Although, through the A Better Chance College Prep Program, he then returned to Illinois to attend Lake Forest College in Lake Forest, Illinois. And after graduating from Lake Forest College, he went on to work for the Lake County Forest Preserve while obtaining his MBA from Keller Graduate School of Management. After receiving his MBA, he moved on to work for Abbott Labs in the year 2000 as a senior purchasing agent. And then in 2004, he was part of Abbott's spinoff, Hospira, as a senior purchasing agent and small business liaison officer. And in 2012, he joined Nielsen as the Vice President of Supplier Diversity. He was honored by MBN Magazine as one of the top 75 leading men in corporate diversity. And he authors his autobiography, Transform National, Journey of a Bastard, which details his personal experience in overcoming challenges on Chicago's violent West Side to achieve success. He's a very, very successful guy that I met earlier this year when I attended IC Stars Martin Luther King Day event. Lamont got up and told his story, and I was transformed. I was so impressed with what he had to say that I invited him to be my guest today. And so with that, I say, welcome, Lamont.
Thank you. Thank you, Yvonne. I appreciate the introduction.
What is the story behind the title of your book?
You know, I get that question a lot just because it, you know, it's something that's provocative. It jumps out at you. And, you know, the first thing is, you know, I'm going to take it in two different ways. The looking at Transform National, what that is basically you're breaking the word up into two words. So transform and national. So you're transforming nations one soul at a time is the goal. And so by telling my story, and getting others, especially those that are either coming up in that type of environment that I grew up in, or those that have grown up in that type of environment, they're trying to figure out what's going on in life. So what we want to do is to be able to tell our stories, so similar stories. Myself, I've got other friends that are part of the movement, and so what we're trying to do is to tell others, to inspire others to be the best that they can be, and transforming their souls and using their life's journeys, especially if it's been hard and filled with violence and, you know, drugs and things of that nature, using that to inspire them for greatness. And not, you know, too many times folks use that as excuses, but what we're trying to do is to try to inspire others to use that as a motivation to succeed. And then the subtitle, Journey of a Bastard, really comes from what I was. You know, I didn't, and I'll go into my story a little later on, I didn't meet my dad until I was close to 30, and so I was a bastard, and so, but I didn't use that as a reason for me to not succeed. I just tried to use that to push me to be the best that I can be.
Oh, boy, that's really powerful. What influenced you to write this book?
About 3 years ago, I was talking to a business owner, a minority business owner, and it was at an event, a reception for her. And she just kept asking me questions about my life, and the more I started answering her questions, the more she was asking me more questions. And so, you know, again, this is a reception that was hosted by her, and so she was supposed to have been talking to the other guests, but she was talking to me for about half an hour, until finally somebody came over and said, you know, you've got other guests that you need to talk to. So finally, before she left, instead of asking me, she just said, you know, or instead of asking if I would write it, she just said, when are you going to write your story? And I never thought about it that way. You know, I never thought, because, you know, you never really think that your story is unique enough to be placed in a book. And plus, it's your story. It's your life. It's something that you're used to living. So when she challenged me, a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, you know what, if I can put my story out there, the good and the bad and the ugly, it'll allow others that grew up in the same way to realize that, you know, they can still succeed and they're normal. You know, there are other people that went through similar situations that didn't prevent them from succeeding.
That is so true. And people need to hear your story, because when I heard your story at that event, I was transfixed. So I'll get to my next question so that we can get into your story a little bit as soon as possible. What does the future entail after writing this book, by the way?
The first thing is, you know, I'd love to be able to get in front of groups that consist of the youth that are in underserved communities, such as the one I grew up in and on the west side of Chicago, Rockwell Gardens. You know, I'd love to be able to, because you know, you think about that age, and I'm talking about really, you know, around 12 to 18. If you can get to that age and you can get to the youth in that type of environment, a lot of them sometimes, unfortunately, don't have hope. And they also don't have role models that would make it realistic for them to see that they can succeed. You know, we glamorize athletes and entertainers, and unfortunately in certain situations, drug dealers. You know, it's something that is glamorized in the type of neighborhood that I grew up in. So those are, in a sense, the heroes that are glamorized. what's not glamorized are those that went the corporate route, or those that decided to open up their own business. You know, those are the ones that should be glamorized, because, you know, that's a more realistic opportunity for the youth out there. So, yeah, so that would be definitely, hopefully, something that's in my future, is to be able to get in front of those individuals from those underserved communities and to encourage them and to give them steps as far as how they could succeed as well.
That's a very lofty goal and a very worthwhile one as well. Can you please describe the 12 disciplines that were mentioned in your book?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, I thought we've all read biographies and autobiographies, and I feel, even though the stories themselves are entertaining, you know, like the best ones that I've read are on, you know, like my favorite singer, Marvin Gaye. You know, I read a few other ones from business leaders. And so the thing about it is, the stories are entertaining, but then when you're done reading it, you don't really, sometimes you have to ask yourself, what did you learn? You almost have to force yourself to see if you've learned something. Maybe you didn't. You know, maybe it was just the point of the book is just to tell the story. So I thought, let me do mine differently. And so I thought of adding, which I was able to do, what I call the 12 disciplines. And so what that is basically, these are things that I've learned throughout, whether it's growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in, working in corporate America, or going to school. These are things that I've learned to help me to succeed along the way. So that was the impetus for putting that into the book, especially at the end, because I wanted the reader to, after they've read the story, to start looking at those 12 and hopefully teach them things that they could learn as well in terms of how to, you know, improve their lives, regardless of the circumstance and regardless of where they come from.
That's wonderful. Can you give us a couple of them, or two or three of them?
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. You know, the first one, I'll give you the first one, actually, and it's identify your own level of success. And so what that means is, you know, too many times we like to compare ourselves. You know, we like to see what the other person is doing, and sometimes we beat ourselves up because we don't feel that we're on that particular level. And so, if you do that, then you're destroying your own dreams. You know, the other people have their own successes. They have their own levels of achievement. But it doesn't mean that that level of achievement is better than yours. You may have had to survive things that other individual did not have to survive. That other individual may have had resources from birth that you may not have had. So one of the things I've always tried to do is to never compare myself to someone else, and also to identify, what does success mean for me? So one of the things I always love to do is to tell people when I'm presenting, to close their eyes, and I say a word, and for them to visualize what that word means to them. And the word I always like to say is success. What does success mean to you? And the answers that I get are usually something around, you know, something that's materialistic. You know, it's cars, it's houses, it's wealth for posterity. You know, and so what I was trying to get at with the answers was to show them that, to me, success means survival. You know, success means achieving the goals that you put out there. And so I've got a very good friend who, he went through a lot in terms of trying to find a job, and he moved his family from city to city. And, he was saying that, or he was implying that he wasn't successful because he wasn't at that level that he thought he should have been in terms of his career. What I had to get him to see is that he is a success, a great success. A success, you know, more than others out there, because he took that risk, and he had his family's, basically their confidence in him as a leader of their family to put them in the right situation, which he was eventually able to do. So I was able to get him to see that, you know, you've got to identify your own level of success. Don't think that your success has to be something that's materialistic or tied to someone else and what they've done. So that's one thing. Another one is, I've always had an opportunity to be different. You know, I never worried about being different. And sometimes our fears of being different, it influences us from the goals that we should have out there. And so I think too many times we get caught up in status quo. Too many times we believe that we should fit within a certain model, a certain mold, instead of challenging the system and instead of following our dreams and our passions and being different along with that, you know, and not worrying about the thoughts of others and not worrying about even the behavior of others towards us if we're different.
That is so true. And especially with the first one that you mentioned, you know, I actually wrote an article for LinkedIn and did a couple of interviews myself on what I call the CIC syndrome that's going around right now, you know, comparison inferiority complex. Because when you compare yourself to others, sometimes it can give you an inferiority complex to your point of you think you have not achieved that much. But when you compare yourself with your starting point and you look behind you and see the distance you've traveled, that's when you really realize how successful you are, because you're comparing yourself with yourself and your own starting point.
Absolutely.
And that usually boosts self-esteem.
I completely agree. You know, the problem that we have is that we fall into particular models, and you know, we feel as if someone else has laid out what success should be versus establishing our own success. So yeah, so in the situation or the case with my friend, once he saw that, or once he heard that, he realized, oh wow, you know, I am successful, and let me stop worrying about you know, following the materialistic dream. Doesn't mean that he's going to stop in terms of trying to achieve in life, but it just means that now he can stop beating himself up for not being a success.
That's true. Let me ask you something. What were your most difficult obstacles while growing up in your Chicago neighborhood?
You know, the primary obstacle was just the neighborhood itself, in terms of the violence and you know, the fact that it was drug induced violence, or just drug influenced violence as well. You know, just, you know, I have a there's a passage that I have in my book where I talk about, you know, sometimes, so we lived on the sixth floor, and so, you know, sometimes making it from the first floor up to the sixth floor in this dark hallway, urinated, you know, hallway, you don't even realize what you've conquered. You know, there are probably individuals within that darkened hallway that were there to rob you, and they just decided for some reason not to. There were probably activities going on in that hallway that you didn't know, that you've been passing, you know, so, or just fate may have it that, you know, maybe you would have gotten caught up in something in between, you know, some rival gang activity. So that was the first thing, was just being exposed to that violence. You know, I remember vividly just sitting in the park, you know, it could be a weekend, and all of a sudden they just start shooting into the crowd for no reason. And you run,
wow.
and you know, obviously you don't want to get hit, but you either run in the house or you run somewhere in hallways. And then 15 minutes later, you come back downstairs as if nothing happened. And so,
wow.
You know, when you think about it today, it's crazy, but when you're going through it, you really don't think about the fact that, you know, how fragile life is. So that's the main thing. And then exposure to drugs, you know, it just, I was lucky that that was never one of my vices. You know, everybody has vices, but that was never one of mine, you know, and just seeing how it impacts an individual, not only emotionally, but physically. So those were the biggest challenges of just being exposed to all of that.
I love that story you told at the event. Would you be open to sharing a little bit of that story about the impact that having others' help possibly can have on your life?
Yeah. So we, you know, growing up in that neighborhood, we often found ourselves, you know, just seeking other options for us to be able to not even succeed, but just to deal with, you know, what was going on around us. And so I was, along with a friend of mine named Rashid, we founded a group called the Awesome Force. And what the Awesome Force was primarily, it was a dance group. So we started imitating the Jacksons. It was right after Motown 25 in 1983. And we got inspired and influenced by that. So The Jacksons were the first one that we started with, and then, you know, when Michael kind of faded and Purple Rain came out with Prince, we started imitating Prince, and we used to have battles between our group, which was Prince and the Revolution, and one of our rival groups, and they were the Time. And so, and then we transitioned from that to this group, the group New Edition. We started imitating them. And so, even though that it was, again, primarily a group that was set up to dance and perform, what happened was it grew into something that was much bigger than that. And number one was brotherhood. The individuals that were in the group, we all were each other's brothers. So I'm the youngest of four on my mom's side, and you know, the next sibling to me was 8 years older than me. And so, in essence, I really didn't have, I feel like the only child sometimes, because they were so much older, and most of them were out of the house. And so, you know, from that perspective, you know, I had my cousin James, who was real close to me in age, but then I had all of the members of the Awesome Four. So we were all each other's brothers. We would all watch out for each other. We were truly our brother's keeper. You know, we would make sure that we didn't get involved in the stuff that was surrounding us, because we had a goal, and our goal was to get out of the projects. And so the thing about that group is that it saved our lives, because the gangs would they would either stop doing what they were doing to watch us perform, or they would prevent us if we wanted to get into something that we shouldn't have been trying to get into. They would prevent us because they wanted us to escape the right way.
Wow. That's really powerful. That is very, very powerful. And so so there was some good times and joy and fun and all that too, even though you were in this very tough neighborhood.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I talk about that a lot in the book. You know, it's easy to look at a neighborhood like that and say, you know, man, that's a tough, you know, way to live. But at the same time, I had more positive experiences than I had negative. You know, number one, it was a family environment. So regardless of what family you were around, you know, if your mom wasn't around or dad wasn't around, they would look out for you. And so I vividly remember great times listening to music, watching the local bands perform in the neighborhood that we were in, or watching, you know, basketball games, you know, hanging out with my friends. We used to get on our bikes, and we used to ride our bikes downtown. One of the things I talk about in my book is there was, you know, we used to ride our bikes down towards the financial district, and I used to always stop when I got around that area, and I used to look at the businessmen and women in suits, you know, going to their jobs, and I used to always dream. I say, you know what, I want to be a businessman one day working downtown. You know, it's just a dream of mine. And so when I got the opportunity, I worked for Nielsen, so when I got the opportunity at Nielsen, even though I live in the Dallas area, my job, I had an office up there at the Nielsen Chicago office downtown. And so I remember my first day on the job, I went into my office, opened up the blinds, and I looked down, and I tell you, it was in that very spot that I used to point at and say, I want to be a businessman one day working downtown. And it was just one of those moments where it's just, you know, everything came around full circle for me, and I really realized why I was placed on that path.
How can we overcome adversities and obstacles in similar circumstances? And by the way, we have a couple of people on the line, so I'm going to open it in a little bit and see if they have any questions for you. Again, how can we overcome adversities and obstacles in similar circumstances?
Well, I mean, you know, the main thing is just, and it sounds ironic and it sounds a little funny, but accepting the circumstance that you're in. And the reason why I say that is it's reality. You know, you've got to understand what reality is. The only way to overcome it is to accept it and say that this is where I am. This is my baseline, and I'm going to do whatever I can do to try to improve upon my circumstances today. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is, and then to me, and this is another, this is actually a part of the one of the 12 disciplines, but what it is surrounding yourself with ambitious people. And, you know, those that they may not have the same exact goals. You know, they may not be interested in corporate America, but they're positive people. So I got lucky because that group that I was in, we all were positive individuals. And even today, when we talk to each other, it's the same. You know, we're still challenging each other, encouraging each other to do better. So I truly believe those that don't make it are the ones that really didn't have a great support system. And so you need that. It's essential to have that, because I've seen it where it works, you know, opposite, where, you know, your support, supposedly your support system is more inspired to influence you to do something that's negative. And so obviously that has a much different impact on you.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to open the line and see if I have any questions out there. Caller 832, area code, do you have a question for Lamond? Okay, how about caller in the 312 area code? Your first three letters numbers are 421. Do you have a question for Lamond?
Yes, I do. I'm so proud of him, given his story like that and just reality, and I applaud him for such a touching story. And this is his mom, Lula from Chicago.
Oh, hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm proud of him too, because when I heard his story at the event, I had to have him as my guest, because I found that I was so moved by the story. His story was so powerful, and especially in today's world where so many people, African-American men, are having such a really tough time, to hear a powerful story, a powerful transformational story, proves that you can get out and you can be successful and you can change your life for the better. So,
yes, and I must say he has done just that, and I'm so proud of him. His first published book, and I'm sure it's going to be very, very successful. And being a single parent, I am so proud of him. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, I knew that voice. I knew the voice was familiar. And, I'm glad she called in, because the thing about it is what we don't understand is that, you know, one of the things I talk about in my presentations is, you know, the fact that we all need what I call a Bundini. So Bundini Brown was Muhammad Ali's corner man, and he was his hype man. So we all understand the successes that Ali had. You know, we know him very well, or know of him, but nobody really talks about or really understands Bundini Brown. If it wasn't for Bundini Brown, Ali may not have been inspired to go out there and have his greatest fights. And so in Bundini, on purpose, you know, he wasn't in the limelight. You know, he wasn't out in front. But, you know, he cried along with Ali. He was happy when and celebrated along with Ali. So my mom, it was my Bundini, you know, so she is really the inspiration for me, as well as my sisters, my brother who passed away in 2009. You know, this was my support system. And then later on in life when I met my dad, you know, he became it as well. So we all have and need those Bundinis in life.
Yes, we do. And I'm going to open the line to caller in 832. If you don't have a question, that's fine. I'm just going to give you the opportunity, if you do have a question, to ask Lamont a question. I've opened the line, caller 832. Yes, do you want to speak to Lamont?
Oh, yes, I'm live.
Yes, you are.
Oh. Hey, well, this happened to be Lamont's father. this is Brunson, and I tell you something. When Lamont came into my life, man, I was going through some rough times. But when we first made contact, we gelled right away. I told him, I think he can tell you, when our first conversation, I told him before we got off the phone, I know you're my son. So that ain't even a question. And he's been an inspiration ever since. I look at him and I tell him he's the positive version of me. I mean, some things that I made mistakes in, he took them and ran with them. So couldn't be more proud.
Okay, That is wonderful. Lola. I'm glad you called in. I'm glad both of you called in today.
I didn't know if I'd get in. So I just started talking and then I got in. So, yeah, it was perfect. He happened to send me a message that he was having an interview and it was perfect time. I've been listening to it the whole time and I'm just blushing.
You know, if I can just add to that. So, long story short, and obviously it's covered in the book, but my dad and I didn't meet until I was 30. But part of it was that he didn't know about me.
Right.
My mom made some great sacrifices that my dad is extremely grateful for, and by raising me on her own. And then eventually when it was time for me to meet him, because I truly feel that things happen for reasons and it wasn't time for me to meet him yet.
Yeah.
So when it was time for me to meet him and I tracked him down and told him that he had a son from day one, I was his son, and his family accepted me fully. And so to have my mom and my dad here on the phone at the same time, which actually we've never done before,
I really would like to say too though, from day one I told him all the glory go to his mom, man. She did one heck of a job, and I think she probably wasn't even too anxious to connect us earlier, and it probably wouldn't have been the right time. But the way he turned out, I couldn't have did no me being there couldn't have made it no better. But I'm glad we did connect when we did, and that always
thank
will
God.
Be. And Angelula, I give all the glory to you. You fantastic.
Thank you. I give it all to the master, the man above.
Right. Exactly. Yes. All right. Okay.
Well, I am grateful to both of you for calling in, and happy that our show is the show that
right.
I get on the same call at the same time, because that's what the story is all. Finding yourself, living your dreams, and being happy. And I can hear the happiness over the line. I have a few more questions for Lamont, so I'm going to mute you guys and ask him a couple more questions, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Lamont.
Yes.
Yes. Can you give us an example in the business world of success that you have had? We talked about the journey there, hearing success in your career at this point in your journey. Do you have one?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what I do is called supplier diversity. And what that is it's helping companies that are owned by women, minorities, veterans, LGBT, is helping them to do business with us as well as to do business with other corporations that are similar to our size. And so I'll give you an achievement. So when I was in healthcare at my previous company, Novation, I received an honor given at the Federation of American Hospital conference. This is back in, 2012. And that honor was called, it was titled the Chorus Boyd Award. And so the honor is, it's given to the highest, and from their perspective, the highest individual within diversity that had the greatest impact on diversity within that year. And it was named after an individual called Chorus Boyd, who unfortunately died of leukemia when he was 45. So Chorus used to, the thing about that award is that Chorus used to work for a former client of ours. And so Chorus was a rough guy in terms of he was hard on you, but at the same time, the way my approach was with Chorus was, let me find out exactly what it is that he wants from us instead of us telling him what it is that we're going to do for him. Let's find out what it is that he wants. He may not want what we're giving him. So that was my approach with him, and I'm glad that I took that approach, because he was always candid, and he told us what we needed to do. It was at a very high level, and it involved involving our CEO in conversations, which I was able to do. And so after having those conversations, we saw great movement within our program. And Chorus called me up, and this is after he found out that he had leukemia, And while he was in the process of unfortunately leaving this earth, he called me up and just said, you know, hey, you know, Lamont, I want to just tell you, I'm proud of what you're doing. And Corus wasn't one to give many compliments to people. So, you know, just I felt honored to get that. So when I got the award, it was very personal to me because the man's name that was on that award, he meant a lot to me in terms of, you know, what the direction that he gave me to help with what I was doing within the company, and then the inspiration that he was providing to me in terms of letting me know that what I was doing was beneficial, was valuable in his eyes. And so that will always be, from a professional perspective, my greatest achievement, just because of the you know, how personal I was to the individual it was named after.
Oh, yes. And, you know, you have to be a certain kind of individual yourself, Lamont, to attract a mentor of that stature. He saw something in you, and that's why he mentored you. And I can completely understand how amazing of a feeling that was. So before we finish, we have a few minutes left here. I just wondered if you had any final comments for our listeners or for the young man or young lady out there who are listening live or will listen later and are saying, oh, what can I do to get out like Lamont did?
Well, the first thing is, you know, and part of the reason why I did this, but the first thing is to buy the book. I mean, just, you know, the book was candid. It's a candid look at my life. It's a candid look at my mom, my dad, my sisters, my brother. It's a candid look at their lives. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, too many times we chase examples that may not be applicable to us, or too many times we always look at ways that we can take the easy way out. My route was not the easy way out. You know, my route took a lot of sacrifice. I had to leave home when I was 14 to go to a high school that was almost 1,000 miles away from home. And, you know, of course, I'm missing home. I never been away from home for an extended period of time, so that was new for me. But that was a sacrifice that I had to make. And so when you're trying to succeed, you have to remind yourself that it's going to come at a cost. And that cost isn't necessarily something that's negative, but it is something that is going to take some sacrifice. You're going to lose some sense of yourself, some sense of your surroundings at some point in time, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to realize that, you know what, there's a life outside of the myopic world that I'm stuck in, or the insular world that I have with the walls surrounding me. So that's my whole point is in writing the book, was to show folks that you can succeed, but if you think that it's going to come easy, you know, if you think that somebody's going to hand it to you, if you think that it's going to come without any obstacles, then you're fooling yourself. And so just keep pushing. Once you keep pushing, then things are laid out for you, and have faith. You know, I'm a man of God, and just, you know, man that always will believe, regardless of what religion, always will believe in a higher power, always will believe that he gives us the motivation to succeed. And so having that faith and having that ability to be able to push yourself, you'll be placed on that right path. And then when you're placed on those paths, you'll be able to see clearly as far as what decisions you need to make, because those will impact you for the rest of your life.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. And I often tell people, you know, what you seek is also seeking you, because when you feel that urge and you want to achieve, you want to make a difference in your life or in other people's lives, he sent it to you. The Lord sent it to you for a reason, because it's meant for you. So when you get that feeling, just go for it. So one final thing, where can they get your book? And how can they follow up with you after the show is over?
Sure. So thank you. So the book is, the website is www.transformnational. So that's TRANSFORMN as in Nancy, ATIONAL.com. So transformnational.com. So if you go there, you can also get it on Amazon, but if you go to transformnational.com, you'll be able to see a book trailer that was done, as well as other shorter clips you'll be able to get some additional background information about not only the book but myself, and then also the introduction is included, just so that you can get a feel for what the book is about. So that's where you can go. And then in terms of following me, the website also has link outs to, I've got a Facebook page, also Twitter, and I'm on LinkedIn as well. But mostly the Facebook is where I usually post a lot of the activities going on around the book and speaking engagements.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you very, very much, Lamont, for a very insightful interview. And thanks to your mom and dad for joining in. That was extra special. And also thanks to all of you, our listeners, for joining us today for the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. Join us next month now on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time, when our guest will be Mal Duane, best-selling author and life recovery coach, whose book, Alpha Chick, 5 Steps for Moving from Pain to Power, hit number 1 in Canada and number 11 in the United States on Amazon. It'll be a really good show also. Until then, let me leave you with this thought. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "People grow through experience if they meet life honestly and courageously. This is how character is built." And your character, Lamont, is powerful and strong. It's a pleasure having you as a guest on my show. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Remember to find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy. And also follow the show at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown and leave your comments for today's show. Thanks a lot, everybody.